This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Pressure is now building on the Small Business Administration to comply with Congress's intent and allow all ag producers to qualify for billions in Economic Injury Disaster Loan Program grants. American Farm Bureau Budget Chief R.J. Carney says more than 30 farms and business groups have written the SBA objecting to its interim final rule under the $2 trillion CARES Act.
SBA is holding fast and firm that farms are still ineligible for the Economic Injury Disaster Loan Program, even as more political pressure has been building,
including pressure from both of Congress's small business committees.
Chairman Rubio and the Senate and Chairwoman Velasquez in the House sent a bicameral letter to the SBA, also indicating that it was congressional intent through the CARES Act that agricultural enterprises would be eligible for the Economic Injury Disaster Loan Program.
Carney says SBA disagrees since producers already get disaster aid through the USDA, but has declared other ag-related operations eligible.
Small farm cooperatives, small aquaculture enterprises, and nurseries are eligible for the Economic Injury Disaster Loan Program.
A $10 billion effort. While SBA is allowing all ag producers to apply for the much larger $349 billion Payment Protection Loan Program to keep workers on company payrolls. Moving on now into international ag news for your Tuesday. Parts of South America, particularly the agricultural areas of Brazil and Argentina, are being clobbered currently by a drought that's threatening to shrink their harvested yields. To make matters worse in the south, the lack of rainfall has been matched by excessive heat. That's according to the U.S. National Centers for Environmental Information. South America has experienced its second warmest December to February period in 110 years of keeping those records. Lack of rainfall, in some cases a third less than normal, has been experienced in Brazil's Mato Grosso, Sao Paulo, and Paraná states, as well as northern Argentina. In fact, parts of northern Argentina, which account for much of that nation's grain production, only recorded roughly 40% of its normal rainfall during the month of March. Quote, the resulting drought from the lack of rainfall across these crop-heavy regions, in addition to bouts of heat, have stressed corn and soybean crops, and that has led to reduction in crop yields. That's according to AccuWeather senior meteorologist Jason Nichols. And as farmers here in the U.S. are starting to plant, producers are positioned to be planting their second-largest corn crop in modern history. But you wouldn't think that if you noticed fertilizer prices recently. As producers updated their 2020 crop budget, low fertilizer prices were a welcome improvement. Fertilizer prices reported out of Illinois in March were significantly lower than in the spring of last year. And hydrous ammonia prices, for example, are currently around $500 per ton, but were closer to $600 per ton last year. Across the board, lower fertilizer prices are observed. DAP prices have fallen the most, down 22%, and all forms of nitrogen fertilizer were at least down 10% lower. The last time the U.S. planted more than 95 million acres of corn was in 2012 and 2013. That was when fertilizer prices were nearly $160 an acre. Of course, many factors have changed since then. Expanded U.S. fertilizer production and lower energy prices being key. Furthermore, corn production in 2012 and 13 was being pulled on by strong usage and higher price. Another data set collected and reported by the USDA's Illinois report are farm diesel fuel prices. In early 2020, farm diesel prices were $2.50 a gallon before sliding to $2.25 a gallon by the end of February. And by the end of last month, the most recent data, prices fell to an average of $1.74 a gallon. Compared with last spring, reported farm diesel prices are 71 cents per gallon lower, or 27%. This will be another improvement on the 2020 crop budget, but also a reflection of the challenges faced by the renewable fuels industry. So what do all these numbers mean? Well, they reflect the lowest fertilizer expenses observed in more than 10 years. Lower fertilizer expenses for corn production so far this year have also limited soybeans' appeal for planting this year. Moving on to the latest news, as COVID-19 impacts agriculture, sometimes it takes something like the COVID-19 pandemic to appreciate some of the things that we do have, like the U.S. food supply chain that our farmers and ranchers work so hard to provide for us.
If we didn't realize it before, and most of us in agriculture already did, but if the American public didn't realize how important the agricultural industry is to this country before the coronavirus, they certainly should now.
That's U.S. Representative Dan Newhouse of Washington State. He says if we didn't have the ag industry we do in the United States, we'd be in a pickle otherwise.
We would not be able to function if we did not have a strong, vibrant, resilient agricultural industry.
Newhouse also said that could you imagine if we didn't have such a productive food supply?
Being dependent on other countries, as we've seen for many of the supplies and equipment in our healthcare industry, the drugs, the PPE that people are screaming for, and shortages of all those things that we are dependent on other countries. If we were in that position for our food supply, just think, where would we be right now in this country as we face a pandemic like coronavirus? It would be a much different scenario that we would be facing.
Representative Newhouse also says it's important to remember this, perhaps now more than ever, that food security means national security. And while the food supply chain across the country has met the demand needed for this COVID-19 pandemic, those things could change in the future. Smithfield Foods has announced that it will close its pork processing plant in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, until further notice, because of employees who have tested positive for coronavirus. It's one of just several major agricultural facilities temporarily closing their operations due to the pandemic. Virginia-based Smithfield Foods says the closures are a trend that may eventually put a dent in the U.S. meat supply. Quote, the closures of this facility combined with a growing list of other protein plants that have shuttered across the industry is pushing our country perilously close to the edge in terms of our meat supply. That's a quote from Smithfield CEO Ken Sullivan. He was quoted also to say that it's impossible to keep grocery stores stocked if plants aren't up and running. In addition to a negative impact on consumers, Sullivan also warns of either severe or possibly disastrous repercussions across the entire supply chain, including on livestock producers. The company says their Sioux Falls, South Dakota site employs about 3,700 people, processes roughly 130 million food servings a week, and it buys from about 550 independent producers. Quote, these farmers won't have anywhere to send their animals, Sullivan adds. Almost 300 employees at Smithfield in South Dakota have tested positive for the coronavirus, accounting for about 40% of all the cases in that state. And a very important link in the American food supply chain is restaurants, which are looking at temporarily new ways of doing business to stay afloat. As traditional grocery stores struggle to keep up with increased demand brought on by COVID-19, restaurants are turning to grocery sales to make ends meet. ABC News says it's a new trend that's catching on across the country as large chains and mom-and-pop establishments look for new income. Panera launched Panera Grocery, which not only sells traditional Panera restaurant items, but items like milk, eggs, and fresh produce that its 2,100 stores normally used to make meals with are also being sold. Sarah Burnett, Vice President of Wellness and Food Policy at Panera, says the decision to sell groceries is a reaction to the, quote, unprecedented crisis our country is going through right now. Subway is also selling groceries at 250 of its stores in five states, including California, Connecticut, Oregon, Tennessee, and Washington. The National Restaurant Association says the industry has lost 3 million jobs and $25 billion in sales since the beginning of March. A spokeswoman says 3% of restaurants have permanently closed their doors, and another 11% are expected to do so by the end of April. And another important cog in the food production industry is the dairy industry. And the USDA's Risk Management Agency is ensuring that milk producers are not inappropriately penalized if their milk must be dumped because of recent market disruptions caused by coronavirus. The RMA is also extending inspection deadlines, waiving inspection requirements, and authorizing more crop insurance transactions over the phone and electronically to help producers during this current crisis. Many state and local governments have issued stay-at-home orders and shut down all non-essential businesses in response to COVID-19. It's resulted in market disruptions and prevented in-person crop insurance transactions. RMA says it will allow milk to be dumped to be counted as milk marketings for dairy revenue production or actual marketings for the livestock gross margin for dairy programs. The agency will also allow phone and electronic transactions for the 2021 crop year sales and reporting dates, including options and endorsements. The deadline for some perennial crop pre-acceptance inspection reports have been extended as well. Quote, dairy revenue protection is a vital risk management tool for our dairy farmers, especially during times like these, and USDA wants to ensure producers continue to get the coverage they purchased. That was a quote from RMA Administrator Martin Barbre. Moving on now to local ag news from our area. The American Farmland Trust has partnered with the USDA's National Resources Conservation Service to provide over $1.5 million to improve water quality here in Illinois. That cost share money will be split between two waterways here in mid-Illinois, one being the Vermilion Headwaters watershed, which starts around Pontiac in north central Illinois, and the other half will benefit the upper Macoupin Creek watershed. Both watersheds are part of the Mississippi River Basin Healthy Watersheds Initiative, and that initiative also supports the Illinois Nutrient Loss Reduction Strategy with the ultimate goal of improving water quality, restoring wetlands, and enhancing wildlife habitat while ensuring the economic viability of agricultural lands along the nation's largest river. To explain more on this cost share money and to explain the upcoming deadline is American Farmland's Midwestern Conservation Technician, Sarah Blount.
Yes. So this money is going to be coming from the Mississippi River Basin Initiative, or MRBI, program. This started here in Macoupin County in the upper Macoupin Creek watershed in 2018. And we got a lot of this funding because this watershed is identified as one of the three highest phosphorus-yielding major watersheds in Illinois. So to achieve those nutrient loss reduction strategy numbers that were outlined in 2015, Putting some money into this watershed was definitely necessary.
With being one of those highest in producing all that phosphorus, it's obviously not going to be a month or two process. This is going to be a process where this money is going to be implemented over a course of a few years.
Absolutely, yes. So we started in 2018, and we just got approval for more funding. So this process is going to be drawn out over quite a few years, and those results are going to be drawn out over quite a few years, too. We know that we're not going to see results, even hardly this year, from the work that we've done in 2018. It's going to be on down the road, so it's hard to think about implementing practices that don't give you immediate results. But they are coming. They are definitely coming, so that's something to consider.
And as you said, this has been going on since 2018. About how many acres or just about how many producers have you worked with and been able to implement some of these practices on already?
Yeah, so I think we've worked with around 30 producers with all of our funding so far. Out of the Upper Macoupin Creek watershed, which is about 137,000 acres, we have worked in probably a couple thousand. I started last June, so the acres before that I haven't looked into a whole lot, but I know that we did get a fairly big contract just last year with around 1,000 acres in it.
And with this money, there's 1.5 that's going to be spread upon two different watersheds. We mentioned Macoupin Creek is one. The other one is the Vermilion Headwaters. That starts up around Pontiac, so the northern and eastern part of the state. But of that 1.5, about how much will be utilized for Macoupin County and towards the Illinois River?
Yes. So in Macoupin County and in the upper Macoupin Creek watershed, we're looking at just over $600,000 toward these practices.
Okay. And maybe if you could just kind of do a little overview on what the nutrient loss reduction strategy kind of outlines for the next few years.
Yeah, so our goal here in Illinois from that strategy was to achieve a 25% reduction in total phosphorus loads and a 15% reduction in nitrate loads. And I believe those are the numbers for 2025. So that was kind of our interim goal. That would be 10 years after the original reduction strategy came out in 2015. Most of the latest PowerPoints and things that I have seen show that we're actually going the wrong direction with that. And there's a lot of factors that go into that, like increased rainfall and larger, harder rain events. But our goals are still to try and work toward that 25% reduction in phosphorus and a 15% reduction in nitrate N. So we're hoping.
And you mentioned those hard rain events. 2019 is kind of just ruined all those plans, really. When it did rain, it rained hard, and it always seemed to rain in 2019. So 1 year could kind of just ruin all those plans.
It definitely can. And we are seeing a change in our weather event toward more of those hard, really fast rains. And those are going to change up plans a lot, too. Those weren't as important when the nutrient loss reduction strategy was written in 2015 because they weren't as prominent. As the weather patterns change, and I'm sure everyone has noticed this, you're seeing really hard, fast rains that are causing washes in your fields and really showing you those problem areas. And those problem areas are what are causing the increase in the phosphorus and nitrate loads.
Okay, and again, we're talking here with Sarah Blount. She is the American Farmland Trust Midwestern Conservation Technician. And Sarah, I'm sure you work all over the Midwest, not just Illinois, with things like this, with cost share. What's maybe one of the big things that you notice maybe here locally, or at least in Illinois, that might be different or kind of unique to the rest of the Midwest?
So here, even just in Macoupin County, in the upper Macoupin Creek watershed, we have an incredible amount of funding for practices to reduce the runoff and reduce your loss of these nutrients that you really want to keep in your fields. There are very few places across the Midwest that have as much funding and as many resources as we do here in the Upper Macoupin Creek to get practices implemented and really work toward this nutrient loss reduction strategy. I think people typically think, oh, it's just another program. Nothing is really special about it. But there is so much funding here waiting for producers to come in and apply for it, really.
As you mentioned, that application, of course, there's always deadlines for these applications, and we're approaching that deadline pretty quick here. May 1st is that deadline. Any special way now with social distancing and the COVID-19 pandemic, anything that's changed from the original kind of plans for the way that you were thinking about having the farmers apply for the funding, or is it pretty well just the same way through over the phone or through the internet?
So it is just a little bit different. I know that a lot of farmers are probably used to walking into the NRCS or FSA offices to ask questions or drop off contracts or even pick them up. And that office is not open to the public right now, but you can still get a hold of them by phone. They are still working full time. So calling them by phone is the really only way to get a hold of them right now. You can't get a face-to-face meeting, but if you do need them to come out and survey, they can still do that. You just can't go into the office. The phone is your best bet to get all of that taken care of.
Okay, and as we were mentioning, this is the Macoupin Creek watershed, so it's not just landlocked to Macoupin County. It also could go into Greene and maybe a little bit of Jersey County as well. And as we mentioned, too, that number there at the NRCS office in Carlinville, I'm sure a lot of farmers in Macoupin County have it on their speed dial, but just in case somebody needs it again, do you have that number?
I sure do. So their number is 217-854-2626, and extension 3 will get you to the right office.
And again, that was Sarah Blount with the American Farmland Trust. And that'll wrap up your Morning Ag Show here for this Tuesday. Reporting on this Tuesday morning, April 14th, this has been Gabe Osborne for WSMI Ag News.